These are the letters. First from Jim Roberts of La Mirada, California. As a military veteran, I especially appreciate the manner in which the bishop linked white privilege with the post-war treatment of the Tuskegee Airmen. It's a convincing example of the sort of white privilege I observed while serving 7 years as executive director of New City Parish in Los Angeles and ELCA ministry. Corrective progress has been and is being made, but more is needed. As the bishop emphasized, we didn't create this. We inherited it. But we know about it, and we have to do something about it. It might hurt, but it brings liberation. We are not free until all of us are free. I pray the day will come when all the people in the sanctuaries of ELCA churches look the same on Sunday mornings as all the people in the cities that surround those churches look all week long. This from Todd Christopher from Troy, New York. The authors provide a checklist of 26 privileges that whites enjoy in church. Is it really racism or a sin for a white person to recognize and enjoy most of the foods brought to a potluck dinner? Casting whites as wittingly or unwittingly evil will divide people. Spreading the good news will unite people, which is what Lutherans should be doing. Jeff Burkett of Decatur, Illinois writes, "A lot of the list in Unpacking White Privilege is simply human reactions and emotions when one is out in public. Other items on the list, music or theologians played or cited in the worship service, simply reflect the fact that we are talking about the Lutheran Church, which is historically a majority white European church. There is no privilege in that simple fact. It's just the history of the church. I flatly reject the point of the entire article, that I should, for some reason, feel guilty about the history and ethnic makeup of the Lutheran Church solely because it was or is predominantly white, and that this is some kind of privilege that provides me a special right or advantage or immunity. What are these advantages and rights in the church? I've spent my life living by Martin Luther King's wish to judge people by their character, not skin color. Why are we making great, broad assumptions based solely on skin color when that is just 1/100 of attributes that make each of us a unique individual with unique life experiences? Let's tackle the real problems in the world as a church and stop trying to see a problem where none exists." This from Gloria Carbo of Minneapolis, Minnesota. "I'm thrilled to read about the direction that Deeper Understandings is taken for the new year. Catherine Kleinhans's article is spot on when she says, church, we must do better. We need to be better prepared for how we are to respond individually and collectively to the systemic and horrific racism and hate that are black, brown, Jewish, Muslim, and LGBTQ brothers and sisters face in this country and around the world. I look forward to reading and learning from other children of God outside our usual sources. Thank you, ELCA, for approving the creation of the 2016 task force that led to this decision." This from Pam Dahlstrom of Cadillac, Michigan. "I just finished reading Frank Hudicutt's article, Wise Guys. Today is January 4th, and I couldn't take my manger scene down yet because the Magi had not yet arrived. Now, I read they may not have arrived 12 days later, but months or even a year after. I had to chuckle. All the more reason to leave it up all year long. I love reading these articles. Thank you."